Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of reimagineonline.org, sparking the evolution of education choice. On this episode, senior writer Lisa Bowie talks with Amy Heflin, senior manager for STEM curriculum at Florida Virtual School.
Today I have with me Amy Heflin. Amy is the senior manager for STEM curriculum development at Florida Virtual School. Welcome, Amy.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me today.
We love having you here. For those of us who haven't seen Reimagine's blog post from earlier this week, Florida Virtual School has announced it'll be one of the first school districts in the state to offer a course in artificial intelligence, also known as AI. Can you start by giving us an overview of what this course is all about?
Absolutely. So we are currently offering Artificial Intelligence in the World. It released earlier this year. It is a half-credit elective career and technical education course. And the second course, which is Applications of Artificial Intelligence, also a half-credit course, will be releasing in July. So both of these courses are part of the Artificial Intelligence Program of Study, which in the state of Florida falls under the Engineering Career Cluster. So as I said, they're both high school level CTE elective courses, and they guide students through the concepts, the tools, and kind of the foundational building blocks of artificial intelligence. So that first course, AI in the World, really provides students with a broad overview of how AI is used. They'll see how it's used in decision-making, problem-solving, and they'll actually see how it's used in their everyday lives. So from online shopping and the algorithms that really show them what they might like to buy based on previous purchases, or even in weather forecasting, such as the Hurricane Spaghetti models, which we love to see here in Florida. Students also learn about the ethical impacts of AI, and they have the opportunity to explore AI through hands-on activities. We use chatbots in the course. We have interactives that they can engage with and manipulate. And then the second course takes that deeper dive into coding for AI. And they use Python, which is a code. We have our own in-house PGA or Python guided activity tool where students can practice coding and receive some real-time feedback.
Wow, that sounds like an awful lot of fun. What computer courses does FLVS currently offer, and how does the AI course complement those?
So at Florida Virtual School, we actually start really early with computer science education. So we do have within our K-5 program, computer science courses. And then at the middle school level, we offer computer science discoveries 1 and 2, which are half credit elective courses, as well as coding fundamentals, which is an introductory coding course. And then at the high school level, we have 2 different advanced placement courses. We have AP Computer Science A, and we're also going to be releasing AP Computer Science Principles in June. So all of these courses incorporate coding at a very basic level and would be excellent starter courses for students who are interested in AI. In addition to that, we have a web application program of study, and that includes courses like digital information technology, foundations of programming, as well as procedural programming. Those courses start with a very basic foundational level, Microsoft Word or Microsoft applications, building up to more involved coding through Java as well as Python. And all of those courses are in our information technology career cluster, which is a very close partnership with the AI and the engineering career cluster. In addition to that, we also have applied cybersecurity as a program of study. And again, that is found in the IT program of study. And all of these programs complement each other because they have a very similar pedagogical approach in terms of how they were created.
It really just fits in well to that whole of programs. By its very nature, Florida Virtual School has always been ahead of its time. What was the thought process behind the decision to offer this course? When and whom did it start with?
So that's a great question because we are typically not on the ground floor of creating courses like this, just because of the very nature of how we work. We are an in-house publishing company in that we create our own courses, but we also are a school as well, and we support students. So when we create our budget and our list of courses that we want to develop for the year, we typically do that in February or March. And oftentimes the DOE will release new course codes or new course descriptions, maybe late spring or early summer. And by that point, we've already mapped out what we're going to do for that next school year. So we were in the fortunate position that the DOE reached out to us and said, hey, we're partnering with the University of Florida and a group of professors who are creating this AI program of study, and we'd really love it if Florida Virtual School would create it. And so that group of professors at the University of Florida determined what the courses would be named, the course descriptions, the standards to be included, the progression of the courses, and then they submitted that proposal to the Florida Department of Education, who approved it and added it to the list for the 22-23 school year. And so because we serve students all over the state of Florida, it was a good fit for us to also develop that so that more students could get into it more quickly.
Now, what type of student is this course designed for? Do you need to be planning for a career in computer science or STEM to really get something out of it? Or can somebody planning to major in the humanities also benefit?
That's a good question, because I do think that oftentimes students can be quite intimidated by just the name of a course. Even seeing something like advanced placement or computer science might make them think, oh, that's not something I'm good at right out of the gate. And we really don't want students to feel that way. So we try to impress upon students that studying AI requires analytical, critical thinking skills, things that we use on a daily basis. And that can be useful in any field. Learning about AI will help students develop their problem-solving abilities. They'll become better equipped to handle complex issues. So certainly we want students who are interested in that field to take the course. The first two half-credit courses are truly introductory-level courses that we feel are accessible for all students, but especially students entering into high school, so at 9th or 10th grade. And then, of course, our hope is that once they become interested in this course of study, they'll want to continue in that program or maybe do something similar. The second course really takes them to the next level as far as coding with Python. But they're both excellent courses for students who might be interested in that career path. But if students are interested in, say, the humanities path, they would gain a better understanding of how AI is shaping aspects of our society, such as ethics, politics, culture, all of those things that are kind of hot button issues in today's world. AI would help them better understand all of that.
And from what I've been reading, most often IT fields tend to attract more boys than girls. How did you create this course to appeal equally to everybody?
It's definitely something that at Florida Virtual School, we focus a lot of our time on what we call those non-traditional courses, meaning that it's a non-traditional course for a specific gender. So typically, you're right. We do see that more males want to take computer science, information technology, and then our female students go into our nursing program of study or our teaching program of study. So we really work hard to make an effort to make those courses accessible for all different students. And that is actually something that we attend conferences at the local and state level. We really want students at FLVS to see themselves in our courses. That is a huge thing that we strive for. So from the images we use in the courses to incorporating stories of both male and female industry professionals, we use examples that appeal to all students' interests. So we might talk about video gaming. We might talk about online shopping. We might talk about weather predictions or even farming coffee. Coffee farmers use AI in their day-to-day work. So we have subject matter experts who create the content. We also have the luxury of having non-subject matter experts from our team go through the course as if they're taking it like a student. So they really get to feel what that student experience would be like. They share feedback with us. And we do this to ensure that we don't have that curse of knowledge that comes from being a subject matter expert. You know, when you're so close to it, you just have this inherent understanding of it. And we know that not all of our students will. So we want to make sure that we're creating courses that are truly accessible for all students on any level.
As one of the people who oversees curriculum at FLVS, where did you start when it came to developing this course? Did you look at what other states may be doing? And if so, what key takeaways or resources did you find?
We did research other states, and we found that there are no other states currently, at least at the time that we started this, that were offering any kind of artificial intelligence courses. We think with the barrage that we've seen recently with ChatGPT and artificial intelligence, I'm sure we're going to see more of that come about. but Florida was truly paving the way for it. So prior to making the decision to head down the path of building this program of study and building these courses, we did have conversations with stakeholders, which would include our students, to just ensure that there was a desire for it. Is this something that people would be interested in? Additionally, we have a CTE advisory committee. We actually just had our meeting this morning. We meet with them twice a year. So we have a fall meeting and a spring meeting. And it consists of college professors and industry professionals. And they often advise us as well on the work that we're doing. So it's nice to get their input too. But because this program of study was put together by a team of professors at the University of Florida, so local to us, we were able to connect with them. And our writer for the course actually attended professional development this summer, led by those professionals at the University of Central Florida. So that was also a really good opportunity and resource for us to hear directly from the people who put together this program.
Can you give us a sneak peek at the syllabus? Take us where you start and then go from there.
Sure. It really starts at the beginning, which I myself did not know the true beginnings of AI. It's actually been around for almost a century now. The course starts back in the 1950s with Alan Turing, who was one of the founders of artificial intelligence. And students get to see that while AI is certainly more commonly talked about these days, it has been around and it is part of their everyday life. So they learn that AI can be used to do things that would typically be risky for a human, such as bomb detection. They begin to understand the limitations of AI due to the lack of human intelligence in the coding. You know, we joke that the AI is only as smart as the person who is coding that artificial intelligence. And then the course ends with the teaching around the ethics of AI, which is really an important piece of this course. There's oftentimes algorithms that as we're doing things, those algorithms are tracking all of the things that we're doing. And oftentimes unintentional bias comes about because of that. So for example, companies who perhaps use an algorithm to review resumes, they're looking for keywords or specific colleges or GPAs. Those algorithms over time can introduce a bias, such as looking for a specific college that a candidate may be graduated from. And then they might disregard all of those other resumes if they don't see that specific college name. So that's an important piece of it as well, that ethical implication. There's a couple of different projects that students do. So one is thinking like a computer science professional. So in that project, we want them to focus on researching career paths in the computer science field. And they research those two careers that they've chosen and they create a presentation based on their research. A huge component of our career and technical education courses is helping students to understand what their opportunities are beyond high school, whether that be going right into the workforce, going to a vocational or technical school, going to a four-year university. We want them to know that all of these options exist. So having them look at various career fields and what it takes to get into those is a really important piece of it. Another project that we do is we actually have students interact with AI. And we went back and forth on this because we don't know if this is a good idea. Do we want to just throw them into the world of AI? But it's there. It's like cell phones back in the 90s when I was in the classroom. We have to embrace it. Kids are going to have them. They're not going to go away. So we just have to figure out how to make the best of it. So AI is here to stay. So we basically give them three different tools. We ask them to interact with those three different tools. One of them is a machine learning tool that predicts what someone might be drawing. So you would start drawing and then it starts to predict what it is that you're drawing. And then they reflect on that experience. And so we have them do this as part of their discussion-based assessment with their teacher. So again, we really want to make sure that the teachers are playing that integral role and having the conversations with the students about that experience. But again, giving them the opportunity to play around with AI and then talk to their teacher about what that experience was like. And we felt like that was a really important piece of this course.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. I remember my son, when he was little, had a toy, an animal or an object or something, and the toy got to ask questions. And the toy was really good at guessing what you thought of.
That's a great example of AI in the real world.
Is this a good course for students who attend schools that don't offer something like this? I know the state legislature just removed the requirement that high school students had to take at least one virtual course to earn a diploma. Do you offer courses to students on a part-time basis who maybe just want to enrich their menu of courses?
Yes, absolutely. My own children have taken FLVS courses for that very reason. They do attend a brick and mortar school, but they take FLVS courses because we have courses that their school doesn't offer, or maybe they want to accelerate their learning, or they just want to do something in addition to what they're already doing at school. So FLVS has always been a great opportunity for students all over the state when it comes to that choice and that flexibility. I often tell the story of the students that I taught who were like, I have to take band at school seventh period. I've got to be there. And that's the only time that maybe this elective course is offered. So they have to take it with us because they really want to incorporate that into their studies. So it really is a good opportunity for them. And then the other thing that we find is that whole, like, if we build it, they will come approach. So oftentimes we'll look at enrollments for maybe courses that already exist in the catalog. And when we build it, we'll see that our enrollments will quadruple that because oftentimes school districts can't offer a particular course because they don't have enough teachers, or maybe they only have 5 students who would take it and they can't justify an entire unit for 5 students. So it offers us the opportunity to engage with those students and offer them something that they wouldn't get, but they could still have whatever it is that they would like to have at their brick and mortar to round out their high school experience.
Where do you see these types of courses going in the future? Do you anticipate or are you planning to add more AI or advanced computer courses? And what would the types be? I know you mentioned a couple in the short term.
I would hope that there will be more of this because I think this is the future, right? You know, students going into computer science or IT fields, certainly. So in this particular program of study from the DOE, there are 4 courses. So as I said, we've got the first one already out. The second one will be released in July. The third course is procedural programming, which is a course we already have in our catalog. So the 4th and final course is Foundations of Machine Learning. And we will be developing that course during the 23-24 school year. So that will round out that entire program of study. A program of study is important because students who are interested in getting the Florida Bright Futures Scholarship, one branch of that is the Gold Seal. And the Gold Seal endorsement is for students who maybe didn't meet the GPA requirements or the SAT, ACT requirements for the different levels of Bright Futures, but they can take a CTE program of study and pass an industry certification and get that Gold Seal endorsement as part of it. So we really encourage students to find a program of study and then to stick with it. And that will expand their learning around coding, and machine learning also delves into the world of software development. So we're excited to add that course as well. As far as other AI courses, right now there are no other courses that exist in the Department of Education catalog, so we would have to see what they come out with. But I do know we are looking down the path of offering additional computer science courses or web courses such as digital design. We will plan those within the coming years.
Well, all this sounds very exciting, and especially in the world of education choice in Florida, you'll see more and more parents customizing their children's education. So it's so wonderful that FLVS will be a part of that. Last but certainly not least, how do you find more information or sign up for these courses?
Students or parents or administrators can go to flvs.net. You'll see a complete list of all of our courses in our catalog, middle school, high school, elementary, and you can read the detailed course descriptions there. And you can also just click directly from there to sign up for any of the courses. We do, within that website, also have a page specifically dedicated to career and technical education, where we detail out the various programs of study, as well as the industry certifications, possible careers. So again, students who are interested in CTE courses can find out more information there.
Thank you. You shared a lot of great information, Amy. We appreciate you coming on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I enjoyed it.